Welcome to Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, and this edition is edition number 6. Hey, we're cruising right along here. You might even get it down pat before you know it. And of course, Club ADHD is for us. Us being adults with ADHD. A safe place where we can go and to be understood without having to, you know, be someone else. We can just be ourselves, right? And it's not only the podcast. We have Club ADHD, the Facebook page, which officially is known as ADHD Adult Group Club ADHD. But if you go to Facebook and you type in the search portion there, Club ADHD, I think we come up on the list second or third. You'll see our blue logo. Just click on that and you'll get to our page. And we also have a Twitter account, Club ADHD. Now, all the podcasts are listed and they have links to where you go to listen to them on clubadhd.ca. Now, I want to thank Center for ADHD Awareness Canada for presenting these podcasts and to help us out with Club ADHD. Without your help, it wouldn't happen. So many thanks going out to them. And if you want to know some information, you want to learn about ADHD, you want to find out about seminars coming up and talks and how to spread the word, become an advocate, visit their website. Terrific website. I say that often, but it's true. It really is. It's CADAC, CADDAC.ca. That's where you go. And you'll find lots of information there that'll be very, very helpful for you, especially if you have ADHD or your child has ADHD and you want to learn more. Of course, Club ADHD, the safe place, as I mentioned, for us. And this podcast is uploaded. We have a new upload every 2 weeks, which means the next upload is October the 3rd. October, I don't like that word. Can you tell I'm not exactly a winter type guy? I mean, fall means winter. But I live in Canada. You got to accept it, right? And speaking of acceptance, let's talk about one thing that I have to accept. Boy, do I ever. It's called my garage. I own a garage attached to our house, and the garage is my domain. And what a domain it is. It's a two-car garage, and you're lucky if you can put in a unicycle, let alone two cars, because it is not exactly clutter-free. It's got lots of stuff in it, and we all must have stuff, especially those who aren't minimalists. And I am not one of those. Not to say there's anything wrong with that. But my garage could be described as a mess. All right? Am I a hoarder? I don't think so. Then again, who am I to judge? My garage, a person can get around it a bit through a path of stuff. And some of the stuff is good stuff. Some of it is maybe not so good, but good to me. And I guess I have to learn to get rid of some of the stuff. But when that happens, I usually replace it with more stuff. Boy, I'm starting to sound like George Carlin here. The thing is sometimes the garage, well, not often, hardly ever. Make that never. Well, yeah. There is a concerted effort to straighten things out by me. However, that impulse doesn't last long. It just doesn't. And you know, we with ADHD, that's part of our thing, right? We like to put stuff in piles, almost like the Great Pyramids. And we know what's in those pyramids, but others don't. Sometimes those pyramids get so tall, even we don't know what's in it. That's where the problem comes in. But you know, it's not life-threatening. The only time it's life-threatening is that if you have a garage full of explosives and it's looking like a big mess, yeah, you might have a problem then. But for me, no, I don't have that problem. And some of the important things that I use a lot, I know where they are. Unfortunately, getting to them can be a challenge at times, but hey, nothing in life is easy. Boy, don't we know that with ADHD and all. So one thing I had to learn was that I have to accept it. Now, that doesn't mean we have to like it, but acceptance is part of getting on with things. And yes, if you're like me, you like to dwell on things. Well, that's part of the ADHD thing, too, for many. You dwell on things, you dwell on the past. Oh, what if they were better? Blah, blah, blah. Now, I can say that and say it about my garage, but is it going to help my life? I don't know. Maybe it might if I'm repairing cars, but I'm not. That doesn't mean we can't give it the old college try, right? Maybe even, heaven forbid, give or throw some things away. Ooh, that sounds scary. But it might be time to. You know, my neighbors laugh at me when I open up the door to my garage. Good-natured laugh, right? But when they need something, who do they contact? Me, because I have stuff. And sometimes I can even find this stuff. So it's, you know, the laugh's on them. Ha ha. Yes, they have neater garages than I do. Again, even though others may not accept it, sometimes we do have to accept it. Now, if it's something really important in your life, well, maybe we need somebody else to help us. We need that extra help to organize our lives. You know, garages, well, that might not be that important. But then again, it might be important to you, right? Who's to say that you can't go out for help and maybe learn some type of a strategy that you can hyper-focus on to keep that organized? I say that, I don't have my garage organized, as if it's a surprise to you after hearing me talk about it for a couple of minutes. The thing is, again, acceptance. Acceptance will help you move on or bring someone in to help you. Life is a mess. You know, sometimes we have to declutter our life. That's a little bit different. But when it comes to garages, you know, you have to set your priorities. At least that's the way I look at it. So if you have a messy garage, you are not alone. Okay? Do your best to get it straightened out. If you must have it straightened out, maybe get some help. Get a friend. Get an organizer. Whatever. It won't cost you money. What's a friend for, right? And maybe even throw away a few things that you haven't used. I say that as I think about my garage and all the things I haven't used in it. But it's true, right? So don't get overly concerned about it, at least the way I look at it. You know, life's short. Give it the best you can. We've got ADHD. We have bigger fish to fry. Unless you fry them in your garage, then you've got a problem. In any case, that's that. That's my garage. And now we have to go to the interview portion of the podcast, or as we like to call it, the interview portion of the podcast. Many of us with ADHD experience different aspects of the disorder. After all, it covers a wide spectrum. But when it comes to mental baggage that can be associated with ADHD, one thing most often stands out: depression. Especially for adults who have lived a portion of their lives not knowing that they have ADHD. Up next, we'll speak with John Milkey. John is a well-known radio personality and entrepreneur in Ottawa who doesn't have ADHD, but he does suffer from clinical depression. Despite this fact, John has a much-listened-to online radio station. He's created a long-time successful website that's become the go-to site for broadcasters across the country. And he's also a mental health advocate who isn't afraid to share what it's like to have clinical depression and, most importantly, how he deals with it. Now, if your ADHD isn't accompanied by depression, I still want to urge you to listen because you just might learn a thing or two that could be classified as valuable information. I started off the interview by asking John, when was the first time he became aware of his depression?
2012, I was officially diagnosed. But leading up to that, for a good year, maybe two, something seemed off, and I'd been to the doctor for blood tests, stress tests, even an MRI, and everything checked out fine. But in 2012, things just started unraveling. I would find myself going to work, sitting in the parking lot, bawling my eyes out, unable to get out of my truck, just frozen, just a mess. And it was fundamentally wrong because I was going to a job that, you know, from my earliest childhood memories, that was the job I was destined to do. So I went back to my doctor. I said, I think I understand what's going on here. And we had a long conversation. And 2012, he officially diagnosed me with clinical depression and anxiety.
So coming from that depth of depression, how did you get yourself out of it? How did you get yourself able to go to the doctor in the first place?
You know, it all worked itself out that I drove into work one day. I was working for a radio station, a Bell Media radio station. It happened to be their campaign for Let's Talk. And I was hearing all kinds of conversations on the radio that day with, you know, a variety of guests that they had on their stations. And every single thing that they were identifying, I was like, yes, 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 and yes. And it was just like suddenly somebody was explaining to me everything that I was feeling and experiencing. And I went to that was the motivation for me to go to my doctor and say, you know, here's why I think, you know, here's why I think I'm here. and again, we had a long conversation about it. So how did I get myself out of it? Pure determination. I'm very blessed with a doctor who I've been dealing with this doctor for years. And typically I've sort of found him very rushed, as most doctors are. And even questioned for a long time, geez, you know, is he really listening to anything? But the minute we started talking about depression, he became very focused. His world stood still. And I've been very lucky that, you know, I'm diagnosed with depression, but I've got a doctor who takes it really seriously and really stepped up and really looks out for me.
It's funny you mentioned that you more or less diagnosed yourself initially, and a lot of people with ADHD feel the same way. I know I did. It's like somebody revealed the man behind the curtain. For you is with depression, for us with ADHD and depression. And I've got to ask you this question. Do you ever get depressed about being depressed?
I used to.
What happened?
I used to.
What changed?
I had a nervous breakdown, my second nervous breakdown in April of this year, and ended up in hospital because I put myself there. I punched a hole in my living room wall out of frustration. I'm not a violent person, and there were just too many signs that things were spiraling out of control. I went for a 1.5 hour, maybe a 2 hour drive in my pajamas. I couldn't tell you where I went. It was just bizarre. So I ended up in the hospital, and the psychiatrist I dealt with was a no BS kind of guy, and asked me a question that initially really scared the hell out of me, but actually ended up putting me on a really good path to starting to understand some things. He asked me, because I, you know, radio has been my whole life, and he says, if we take radio away from John, who is John? And it, like I said, it was horrifying because I was, you know, growing up as a kid, radio was all I was going to do.
Same
in
here.
High school, every course I picked was designed to get me into a radio program. Then I was in the radio program. Then I was working in radio for 23, 24, 25 years. And I really had to give that some thought. And I did. And I was able to sort of break it down to, you know, who I am beyond the radio thing, which was probably something my wife could have answered better than anybody, because she's the only person in my whole world who's never really been impressed by what I do, which has frustrated me, but there it was in front of me the whole time. So, you know, some heart-to-heart conversations with her, but I took it one step further. Coincidentally, around the same time, I was actually a very well-known former manager in radio who now does life coaching, named JJ Johnson.
Yep. He was, he was my boss at one time.
Was he really?
Yep.
JJ's fabulous. He stepped up and he said, John, I see all kinds of great stuff that you're doing, but you need someone to, you know, sort of help you stop skating all over the ice and steer you towards the net. And JJ stepped up and started mentoring me and really started putting a lot of things into focus. And one of the things that, you know, he and I worked on very initially was, it's okay in social media and in an on-air capacity to be talking about depression, but don't bring that negative side of it into the studio. Don't bring that negative side of it into social media. You have an opportunity here as someone with an audience, someone with a platform, to be really honest about it, but be honest about it in a positive way. And so we really started working on the idea of, you know, look, I'm always going to have bad days. That's just a fact of my life. For the rest of my life, I'm going to deal with this. And the bad days, I sort of keep those not private per se, but I don't need to put it out there, because when I do, the only thing, and this took me a long time to recognize, but the only thing I'm going to get is a whole bunch of sympathy. And I think when I put it out there too, what I'm doing is I'm actually giving license to some people to live in that negative headspace as well. I see a real opportunity to be someone who can live with this, who can, you know, have those bad days, but who can really sort of focus on the more good days. And it's a real difficult thing. It's not an easy thing. It's a very, you know, I got to focus on doing it, but I've adopted the credo that, and this sort of, I guess that's the long-winded answer to your question, but it led me to a credo that I use every day now. And that is that I have depression, but I refuse to be depressed about it.
Now, what about when you came out with your depression? Did you ever find that people, well, aside from the sympathy aspect of it, labeled you as crazy?
Yes.
How did you take that?
It was very hurtful. It scared the hell out of me. And I think, you know, I've been 2.5 years now, not with a radio job. You can't help but wonder, you know, is the perception of someone who deals with mental health issues as good and as talented as they may be, does a manager look at that person and say, gee, you know, do I want to take on those issues?
Right.
You know, which is horrifying for people like you and I and anybody who deals with a mental health issue, because it goes against everything we're finally hearing about breaking down these stereotypes, you know, having this conversation that, you know, yeah, I have a mental illness. I'm not crazy. I get tired a lot. I'm a dedicated, hardworking person. In fact, the hard work that I do more often than not is what brings me to that point of exhaustion. It's a difficult thing to deal with, because the perceptions are still there. But perhaps not that the person's crazy. I think we may be at a point where we're starting to, you know, turn a corner on that. But, you know, people still have that fear that, you know, you're somewhat damaged goods. And are you always going to be off work because you're having a bad day? So there's still some work to do in that regard.
You know, it's fun. It's sort of ironic where you go on the corporate side and the corporations are supporting mental illness. Yet when you get down to the nitty gritty, the people within the corporation, there are many people who don't practice what they preach. As you say, you might be damaged goods. Do I need this? Especially in the world of broadcasting, because we're under a microscope. It's not like working in a factory, and nothing against working in a factory. But if you have a bad day, if you did something wrong, everybody knows about it in radio. It's entertainment. You're wearing entertainment.
Yeah, especially when, you know, you're the kind of personality. Well, it's one thing to work at, you know, if you were in the sales capacity or, a copywriter or a producer or a salesperson or a promotions person or someone on the admin side. But when you're on the front lines and you've got a microphone and your whole living depends on ratings, you know, and you've got to be open and transparent with an audience, because the minute you're not, they see right through it.
But so, you've got bosses, and I've been a program director, who say, we don't want the negative stuff on there.
Right.
We want you to be upbeat, positive.
Yep.
If your dog died, leave it, you know, aside when you go in that studio, you are Mr. Happy.
Forward momentum. It's your happy place. Exactly.
That's tough when you're depressed.
It is. It is, but it's also, that's the job too, right? That's,
yeah.
It's not unlike being an actor. You know, you've got a role to play, and your job is to uplift, forward momentum always, keep it tight and bright. You know, meanwhile, like you said, you know, your dog died, you've got, you know, bill collectors, you've got taxes that, you know, are due, you've got, you know, you've got real life problems going on. But, you know, on one hand, like you said, you know, the program director's there saying, you know, you need to be relatable. This is the target audience. These are the kinds of things that they worry about and that matter to them. But the minute you're addressing the things that really matter to them and concern them, no. Focus on the good things.
Yeah, and who lives a happy life day in, day out anyway? I don't care if you have
radio
depression
people.
Or not. Yeah, yeah.
On the air.
Well, the Ronnie
for
radio.
For 4 hours a day. Yeah. Live a happy life.
The tears of a clown.
Uh-huh.
Yep. It's something that we with ADHD, a lot of us deal with. We have depression on top of the ADHD, and a lot of people are depressed because they have ADHD, and it's kind of a never-ending cycle and to get out of it. Now, for people who don't know you, to look at what you've done with what you're doing online, and you've got your online radio station, and you've got a website that a lot of people in radio visit day in, day out, you would never figure, hey, this guy's depressed. But that's the thing. You really can't tell sometimes.
No, and I think part of the stigma about mental health and depression specifically is the word itself, depression. I'll often have a conversation, I'm sure you've been there as well, where people say, well, what do you have to be depressed about? Well, you know, again, I have depression. I refuse to be depressed about it. I'm trying to address that because depression in a clinical term is as different from depressed in a sad term as a tropical depression is, right? They're all the same word, but they all mean so many different things.
Well, everybody gets depressed now and then.
Sure.
But to deal with depression day in, day out, that's a totally different situation.
I saw a great TED Talk a while ago. I wish I could remember the young man's name. But he says something to the effect of, Andy Breel, I think is his name. He says something to the effect of, you know, depression is not being sad when everything's going wrong. Depression is the inability to be happy when everything's going right.
Right.
And it's so true.
And people who don't have it, a lot of those people don't get it. Not meaning they don't understand it.
Before I had this thing, it wasn't even on my radar. If I looked up, I would have been like, okay, you know, whatever that is, I don't understand it. Oh, you've got this thing that happens in your head. Well, just change your thinking. Well, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work like that.
ADHD is the same way. I thought the same, you know, a kid bouncing off the walls and feed him Ritalin, it's the, you know, that's ADHD. But like depression, it's so misunderstood that unless you experience it, you don't really, well, I shouldn't say you don't really know about it. A lot of people don't really know about it, and they should.
But God love you for, you know, for doing this show and you know, helping, you know, break down some barriers and helping people understand it. But I think this is probably fair of any disease, any illness, really. I mean, unless you've had cancer, can you really sort of understand cancer? You know, or if you've haven't dealt with it, you know, face on, someone you love, someone in your family, you know, insert illness here. I mean, we can all, you know, relate to cuts and scrapes, but ascribe to someone what amounts to emotions.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't even make sense to me 99% of the time. I just know that it's very real, and I hear that voice that they talk about. And that voice is overwhelming.
Well, you're dealing with the brain, and unlike a broken leg, a person can see a broken leg, they can see the cast, they can see the x-ray, but when it happens in your brain, it's a totally different thing. It's almost an intangible. It's just not, some people, they have to see it to get it, and
right.
That's the sad thing.
Yeah, and again, it comes back to that. Well, what do you have to be depressed about? You've got a career. You've got this website that you've got going on. You've launched a successful internet radio station. You drive a nice vehicle. You've got a, you know, a beautiful wife. You live in a nice house in a nice neighborhood. What do you have to be depressed about?
Right.
Well, no, I appreciate all those things, and I'm very grateful for all those things, but that doesn't cause depression.
It's not like you caught a cold.
No.
No, it's not contagious. I mean, being, I guess being down is contagious. But yeah, depression, I mean, you know, some of the happiest people have depression you don't even know.
Yeah, and do you find, because you obviously talk about this a lot, do you find that depression seems to really affect people who work in a more creative environment?
Well, that's what we say with ADHD. A lot of I can pick off an ADHD person from a mile away, and a lot of ADHD people have depression. And I would say so. It's just kind of the nature of the beast. Some of the most successful comedians, you get them out of their element, and they're totally different, withdrawn, and maybe depressed, and because it's a hell of a life. But yeah, you got to be able to turn it on. And once
you're exactly right.
You turn it off, it's off.
Yeah, a lot of this great comedy, I mean, Robin Williams, a lot of this great comedy is based on such darkness in their personal lives. You know, unbeknownst to me, when I first was living with my now wife, we're talking 23, 24 years ago, she was taking this. I just started, you know, my first real full-time on-air job I was doing overnights at a radio station. And she was going to university taking a psychology program. And I didn't realize it, but I was the subject of many a term paper for her. She found it very fascinating that she was with this guy who could get behind a microphone, who could, put sexual innuendo out there, who was hell-bent on doing, you know, top five lists, silly little words of the day. I spent hours and hours and hours writing the show and prepping bits, and it was all about, I want to make people laugh. I want to get that reaction. But what she saw was this person who really was happiest just being alone in his apartment with the door closed, the TV off, by himself, writing the occasional thing. Like, it was such a contrast. She noticed this contrast between, again, this goes back to how is John when you take away the radio guy. She saw that early on. And it's very different from the on-air persona. The on-air persona, a lot of the times, as much as it's based in reality, you're an actor.
Yep. And people have to be an actor at times, not only in radio, but in everyday life. Because if they don't, then some of the people with their misconceptions might take exception of someone with a mental disorder.
That's right. If you're working in an accounting firm, for example, and, you know, there's a promotion, you know, available, do you want to expose that, and I hate to use the term, weakness? Do you want to give them anything that they can, you know, that someone can use to their advantage, perhaps? You know, and that just, I mean, exacerbates the fear, doesn't it? It just, you know, makes everything bigger than it is.
So you are where you are right now. I mean, you know you have it. You're dealing with it. How do you deal with it? Do you ride out the storm during the rough patches?
Yeah. I'm learning to be in my conversations with the people who are immediately around me. I'm learning to... I went through a spell there where, you know, because I'm running an internet radio station now, because I work for myself and because it's in the basement of my home, if I would sit there in the studio and suddenly I felt depression coming on, I would allow myself to play an hour or two of music that is some of the darkest, most ominous music in the world, and to the point where listeners were like scared for my safety.
Really?
It's not okay to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm constantly having to, you know, train myself. As I say, these are all tools in the toolbox, right? The more you live this thing, the more you learn from this thing, and you know, including the mistakes. And the mistakes probably give you some of the best tools. Oop, don't want to do that again. I really, at times with this, become my own worst enemy. Recognizing that has been probably one of the best things, because it allows me to step back now and say, no. I am better to just not do a show today, and I have that advantage because I work for myself. I'm better off not doing a show today than I am to sit there and just play music that does not, you know, it's just not in synchronicity with, you know, how these people are feeling today. That's my issue, and I need to deal with that. So that's part of it. The other thing that I do, and this is another lesson that our good friend J.J. Johnson has taught me, and that is I'm trying to live my day. I try and start it off, you know, by posting something positive on social media.
Mm-hmm.
To sort of get the ball rolling, to get the conversation going. You know, when you're feeling really, really down, nothing lifts you up more than when you lift someone else up. And I'm a big believer in that, and that's sort of a recent revelation. Again, it's a new tool in my toolbox, but every time I use it, I seem to have success. You know, and I'm focusing on things. I just launched a video campaign, a semi-regular campaign. For a long time, I was running a group on Facebook called Mental Milky, and I decided that I no longer wanted to run that because it sort of took the mental health conversation into, you know, a far off corner of Facebook and social media, and you sort of had to know it was there to be part of the conversation. And it ended up being a lot of memes and things like that. I don't know that it was necessarily creating a conversation. So I've launched a video campaign called My Mental Health Moment, and it's just me talking about how I'm feeling on a particular day and how I'm dealing with it and putting it out there as an idea. And hopefully, and I'm trying to keep this in my public timeline on my YouTube channel. It's on my radio station page because I want to, you know, if I have to be cursed with this thing, I want to use it to my advantage, for lack of a better word. That's not the right way to put it, but you know, I want to do some good with it. That helps me.
Well, I would think that even talking it out, are you able to talk yourself out of it?
No, I really do have to rely on, I mean, deep down, I know that this is a monster in my head that tells me all kinds of awful things. When you're in that moment, though, when you're in that dark place, you can't separate the two. I mean, you can tell yourself this isn't real, but it overwhelms. And I really do have to rely on my wife, family members. Like I said, I've got a great doctor. I've got a tremendous therapist. You know, I've found people. People have come to me out of nowhere, you know, who talk to me. You know, the difficult thing is allowing yourself to open up when you don't even necessarily know how to articulate what it is that's bothering you. You're just in this place, and when you're there, how do you say to someone, help me? You know, the best thing I've been able to do for myself is not have that conversation when I'm in that dark place. Have that conversation when I'm on that upswing again. Oh my God, here's what I was going through. Here's what you need to know. You know, as much as I'm pushing you away, what I really want is for you to be here by my side. You know, you got to pick the right opportunities and the right moments to have that conversation because, you know, like I said, I'm married to someone who's got a degree in psychology, sociology. And, you know, even with that kind of education, it's difficult to really understand how to talk to someone when they're going through that hell, when they're in that agony. And it's got to be difficult to watch. You know, that day that I punched holes in the walls and went for the drive, I can't imagine the fear that my wife had. But she, you know, she never showed it. She stepped up. The minute I was ready to go to the hospital, you know, I think there was a lot of relief. And you know, it was after that we started having real serious conversations again. This is what I went through. This is what I need. You know, this is what, you know, this is what I was trying to tell you when I was behaving like this. It's a roller coaster. It really is a roller coaster. And it's unpredictable.
What would you say if someone's listening now and is facing depression and really doesn't have a handle on it? What would you say to them?
If you recognize that you don't have a handle on it. I would hope that you at least have the will to reach out to someone, whether it's a crisis line. The crisis lines are amazing. They're staffed by volunteers. They're not there to judge you. They don't know who you are. They don't care who you are. They're just people who know that you as a human being have value. And I think that's sort of where we get lost sometimes is, you know, we feel like we've lost our value, our purpose. We've all got that. And that voice in your head will tell you that you don't. The voice in your head is a liar. And I would hope that if you're in that dark place right now, that when you even have a moment where you know where you're up a little bit and a little more coherent, that you articulate it to someone, I need help. Go to any hospital. Any hospital has a mental health facility. Don't be afraid of it. It can put you on a much more manageable way of life. Don't be afraid of it. It's scary when you're going through it. It's horrifying when you're going through it. I'm not going to lie. But if you're willing to do the work, you really can find success despite this damn thing.
That was John Mielke explaining his life with depression. If you'd like to learn more, visit John's video blog titled My Mental Health Moment. You can see them by searching on his Blast the Radio YouTube channel. Once again, go to YouTube and search out the channel Blast the Radio. You can also Google My Mental Health Moment. Matter of fact, I just did that and it worked for me. Well, the music in the background means one thing. Means my hearing isn't totally shot. No, make that two things. It means that this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast, is about to come to an end. I hope you found it informative. I know I did. And thank you to John Mielke for sharing his experiences with depression. And also another thank you going out to the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, a.k.a. CADAC. They're the ones who sponsor this and help make this happen. And, of course, Club ADHD, the podcast, uploaded every 2 weeks. Our next upload happens October the 3rd. October? Oh, boy, I hope we're having fun because time is flying. And also don't forget that Club ADHD isn't just about a podcast. No, no. We have a Facebook page officially titled ADHD Adult Group Club ADHD. But if you go to Facebook and type in Club ADHD, I think we come up second on the list. You'll see our blue logo. Just click the logo and you'll get to our page. And we also have a Twitter account. Now, the Facebook page is gaining traction, as they say in advertising. The Twitter account, not so much. We're stuck in the mud on that one. We need some more people signed up, right? So that we can make this happen. Three elements of Club ADHD. If you're signed up to Twitter, sign up to the page. You won't regret it. Or your money back. Well, wait a minute, it's free. Well, I can say that. Or if you're not signed up to Twitter, what's stopping you? Sign up. Sign up to the Club ADHD page. In any case, I'm glad you could be with us. Be sure to tell a friend about this. Have them join you to listen to the podcast. And the great thing about a podcast, you can listen at any time. Backwards, forwards, stop, whatever. And as I had mentioned, the next upload is on October the 3rd. Well, that's it for now. I'm Russ LeBlanc wishing you and yours, whoever the yours may be, I hope you have a great day, a great 2 weeks, and don't forget, tell each and every person who is worthy of knowing, which is everyone, ADHD is real. Bye for now.